Any officers stand out as characters?
Yes. Captain Bunce. Luggy
Bunce.
Bunce, B-U-N-C-E. Luggy Bunce. He was known as Luggy because he had big ears. Now, Luggy came from here, London. He came from Fulham. He was a quartermaster, Captain Quartermaster. And this guy was so efficient, it was unbelievable. And believe me, when he walked about that battalion, when he shouted an order, you jump. And this is gospel, what I'm about to say now. When the battalion left Gibraltar at the end of 2 years, the barrack damages for the whole battalion came to 5 shillings. This was totally unheard of. So much so that it caused such a stir that the Quartermaster General flew out from Britain to find out if this was the case.
And to check up on it?
Checked up, yeah, because nobody had ever heard of this. Because this man, Bunce, he had such a grip on the quartermaster side of the battalion that nobody could get away with anything. And I reckon the barrack damages was 5 shillings when we left. Now, one night I was guard commander and I'd been doing officer's mess. And the officer's mess was along the road towards the Rock Hotel, the big Rock Hotel. Between the barracks and the Rock Hotel, the officer's mess. Big stone building. Anyway, I'm guard commander, and I'm standing at the window. It was a summer's night, and the window was wide up, wide open. And the sentry kind of whispered to me, "Guard commander, guard commander." So I went down, "What's up?" He said, "I think there's a fight going on outside the gate." And I went down, and there's the old Luggy. He's got one of the other officers by the throat, and he's giving it real cockney, he was. "I'll knock your effing head in and all this, you know." So I just managed to get in between them and say, "Come on, sir, gentlemen, break it up, you know." The other officer was a wonderful character as well. Captain Major. So anyway, I went to...
So what was his name again?
Oh, the captain was R.B. Parks.
You say he'd been off tape. You said he'd been a brigadier.
He'd been a brigadier during the war, and fought in Burma. And at the end of the war, like so many officers, he could either leave the army, or if he decided to stay in the army, he'd have to drop rank. Now he had to drop right down to captain. It was incredible, but he did eventually finish up a major. But he loved the army so much, he was quite prepared to drop 3 or 4 ranks.
And did you ever find what him and Bunce were fighting about, or were they just...
No, there obviously been some argument in the officer's mess. And I think that the Lucky Bunce, it stuck in his mind that night, and he was determined he was going to have it out with Larry Park. We used to call him Larry after the film actor who did the Jolson story. So I never ever found out, but anyway, I managed to quietly break up and Parks the next morning came to me and said, "Thanks a lot, Corporal, for last night." He said, "I thought I was going to get a right-hander." So that's quite all right, sir, any time. And that was it.
Any other officers stand out in your mind? You know, just as characters.
There was another chap, Captain Boddington, who was a 2A.
Boddington?
Boddington, as in Boddington's bitter. DFC, the Distinguished Flying Cross.
And what was he like?
Sorry?
What was so special about him? Why did he stand
out? He was the most unathletic looking man you ever saw. But he was always out there looking for athletic talent. And we used to call him, what was it, Wilson, Seeker of Champions. That was his nickname, Wilson. Because remember way back in old Dundee, there's a guy called Wilson, and he used to go seeking champions all over the world. Well, we gave him that accolade. He used to, as I say, he was the most unathletic looking guy you ever saw, but he would always be out there looking for athletic talent, like, you know, and always very, he spoke so posh that we could hardly understand him at times, you know, this kind of chap he was. But he had won a DFC during the war, although he'd joined the Cameronians pre-war, he, like one or two other officers, had have been seconded to the RAF. That, as a point of interest, in the year 2000, I did an article on this Cameronian airman for our magazine. I did a good bit of research, and these two names came out, like, you know. So, having done a research on the guy and served in his company, I can remember him, like, you know.
He was your company commander, buddy?
He was second in command of the company.
Who was commander of your company?
Well, by this time, it was yeah, it was still Major Greaves. But then later on, we got another company commander a few months after that.
We'll come to that then. So, well, that's enough characters for now. We'll perhaps come to some more, yeah. You know. How did life go on then from there? You're now a corporal. Were you ambitious? What was your plan? I mean, were you going to try and get promotion to be RSM yourself?
Yeah, exactly. That was uppermost in my mind, actually. Like, you know, that I was a regular soldier and I wanted to go as high as I could.
Which meant RSM, did it?
RSM, commissioned officer, I didn't mind which, like, you know. Unfortunately, it never came to fruition, but that's another story.
But that was your plan?
That was my plan, that was the basic plan. I wanted to go as high as I could, like, you know. But some one or two misfortunes on the way
we'll come into that.
The next big thing that happened to the regiment was that with the end of the war and the freeing of the concentration camps of the inmates, Jewish inmates, there then became a problem in the Middle East, because the Jewish immigrants were flocking to Palestine. And what actually happened was that in that certain part of Palestine, where there was a lot of trouble there, the 6th Airborne Division was stationed there. And three ships, merchant ships, left Hamburg in Germany en route to Palestine. Now, these were known as illegal immigrants because the British, under arrangements with the British government, there were no longer any Jews entitled to enter Palestine. So what happened was these three ships, they arrived off Haifa at a certain time and they were refused admission into the country. So you're talking here about maybe 600 or 700 people on board each ship, maybe more, I don't know. Anyway, the British authorities ordered the elements of the 6th Airborne Division to go aboard these ships to be returned back to Hamburg. Now, they'd been to sea for several weeks and were very old merchant ships and were very slow moving. And I think they'd been to sea about 6 weeks when they were ordered into Gibraltar so that the men of the airborne division could come off, have a few days rest, get cleaned and washed, you know, cleaned up and reissued new kit, what have you. Now, Little Bay Camp was emptied and set up with beds, mattresses, little bedside lockers, all sorts of goodies, tins of cigarettes, 50 cigarettes, bars of chocolate, all sorts of goodies. And we had to go out to the ships.
So they came back to Gibraltar?
They came back to Gibraltar, yeah. Now we, in turn, had to go on the ships and take over from the parachute regiment. Now, I forget the name of the ship my company was on, but I could not believe the sight that met my eyes. The ships were absolutely filthy. The paratroopers were filthy. There was no discipline. It was totally unbelievable. It was as if these ships had come from another planet. Anyway, we got...
In what way? How bad were they?
The ships were just absolutely filthy. And the inmates of the ship would just seem to be... It seemed to us at the time that the parachute regiment were having a whale of a time on there. They were virtually doing nothing, except maybe having relationships with the women. That was the distinct opinion. And when our CO went aboard the three ships in turn, he was absolutely livid. Absolutely livid he was when he saw the state of the place. And he, apparently, what we can gather was that when the whole of the para detachment got ashore, he got the commander of the parachute detachment up to his office in Buena Vista Barracks and gave him a right going over and threatened him with a court-martial. But that's only hearsay. But we could understand it. We could understand if this happened. However, it was painfully obvious that we had quite a job on our hands to retrieve the situation on these ships to get control back again, because nobody had control of the place. So, naturally, we had to be pretty brittle. We really had to be brittle. And what happened was we mounted two Bren guns on the bridge of the ship with searchlights, because the actual decks had been taken out, and it was all metal frames, so that you could see down into the holds. You actually saw into the holds where all these Jewish immigrants were living, like, you know. And they spared us nothing. It was life in the raw, really. Anyway, one incident happened the second day I was on board there. I was on patrol on the deck, just checking everything. And there was two water things, water pumps, where twice a day the immigrants could come out and fill up their buckets and what have you with water, take them down below. And that's the only time we were allowed on deck. They were starting to moan about not being going on deck. But we wouldn't allow them to go on deck. And one incident happened as I'm walking towards this water thing. This man, he pushed a little child there, was filling her bucket. And this guy, he just got his arm and he smacked her right in the face, knocked her right away from the well. So I just casually walked over and I belted him with the butt of my Sten gun. And he split his head wide open. And I said, right, get him out of here. Got to be a girl. And this one of the guys said, well, I'll take this guy to the hospital. I said, bollocks, leave him. Get this little girl. Get her down to the sick bay and get her fixed up. And there was acts of this kind of thing happening. But then only lasted about a day or so. When the Jews realised that we weren't any nonsense, they started to fall in line, like, you know. And this RB Parks, Captain Parks, whom I know was of a Jewish extraction, he was responsible for mounting the Bren guns on the ship. And he said to the gunners, he said, any one of these people make a wrong move, he said, just put a burst into the hole, he said. Let them know who's boss. Now, that's how bad things were, like, you know. Anyway, we were on there on these ships for about a week.
Was there any actual trouble? I mean, there was no need to open up fire.
They tried to cause trouble, but we nipped it in the bud straight away. Our CO told us to spare nobody. Any signs of trouble, to crush it straight away.
Well, they didn't have to, so, you know, they didn't open up fire.
No.
Nothing too serious happened.
They got the message. They got the message.